Today's Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Nun Vav. We're beginning at the very bottom of Nun Hei Amud Beis. And we are on the very last line where we continue our discussion of various Gedolei HaTanach and saying that they didn't do what the Tanakh seems to simply imply that they did. So we continue. Amar Rav Shmuel ben Achmeni, Rav Yonason. Rav Shmuel ben Achmeni says the name of Yonason. Kola Omer, anybody says that the Bnei Shmuel Chotu, we turn to the Omen Aleph, Nun Vov Omen Aleph. Anybody says that the children of Shmuel were sinners, ain't no Elatoa. He's making a mistake. They didn't sin. Shenema, because the Pasuk says, now the Girsa that we have in the Pasuk over here is a little bit wrong, so we'll read it from the Girsa on the side, and it should be Vayhi, Kasher Zokain Shmuel, below Hol Chubanov. It was when Shmuel became old, and it says his children didn't follow Bidrachov, Lo Holchu Bidrachov. So what does that mean? Bidrachov, who the Lo Holchu, they didn't follow in his footsteps to be as great as Shmuel. However, Michto Nami Lo Chatu, but they didn't sin. Don't mistakenly think that they sinned, and that's why the Pasuk shouldn't be understood that it is in a totally negative way, and anybody who says that the day Shmuel sinned is making a mistake. While they weren't as great as their father Shmuel, they didn't sin. Rav Yonason darshens, and he says, Elamani Mekayim, the Pasuk seems to say that they did sin. Vayitu Achrei HaBatza, they turned after all sorts of Batza. Batza is like greed or evil. They took bribes, etc. So Gemara says, Shlo Asu Kimasi Avim, means that they didn't do as their father did, like Shmuel, but they didn't still do bad. It was just they weren't as great as their father. Now, what was their father's midah and what was their midah? So the Gemara tells us, Shaya Shmuel at Tzadik. Shmuel, who's known as Shmuel at Tzadik. Shmuel is compared to Moshe and Aaron. So the great Shmuel, what would he do? So he would save money for Klal Yisrael. Mechazeh b'chol mekomos Yisrael. He didn't have servants doing all sorts of things for him. He himself went around to all the tzutzas of Klal Yisrael. V'danosom b'yareim. He judged them over there. So he traveled. Elsewhere it tells us he took his own money. He didn't even take chamor echod mehem. He didn't even take one donkey from them. But at his own expense, he went around to all the cities and he judged the people in all of those cities. Shenema, the pasuk says, "V'holach midei shana b'shana." All year long, he would go around v'savav beis kel, and he went around into the different cities. He went to beis kel, v'agilgal, v'yamitzba, v'shafat Yisrael. He went around and he judged everybody at his own dime. He went to them and judged them. But what did his children do? His children didn't act in the same way. They sat in a central place. And they sent out people. They had a whole entourage. They had a whole team. As Rashi says, the Chazaneim was Shimshayim, the people that served them. They sent out people to go and bring the litigants to the din to them. And they had the Sofran. They wrote up all the shtaros to make sure that everything was clarified. And they wrote letters and evaluations. And they did all of that on the public dollar. So therefore, they didn't sin, but they just weren't as frugal and as big a tzaddik as their father Shmuel. That's what Rav Yonason explains over here. However, the Gemara says not everybody agrees with this opinion of Rav Yonason. This is actually a machlokis tanoim, kitanoi. We'll see there are four different tanoic opinions that are brought down over here. The first one agrees with Rav Yonason, and the other three say no, that the sons of Shmuel, in fact, did something incorrect. So the first opinion over here, in Darshi, in the words, Vayitu Achrei HaBatza, that the sons of Shmuel, they went after the bribes over here, they went after the inappropriate money. So Reb Meir says, no. Reb Meir Omer, Chelkom Shalu Befiyem. Reb Meir says that all they did was, and you look in Rashi, in Dibur Masel, Chelkom Shalu Befiyem, Maisarishon Aroylem. They were Levim, Shalvim Hayu, and therefore Shalu Befiyem, Mitok Shayu Gdoli Ador, Vishoftim Lo Yumonim Lehem. So they asked for their tithes. They said, can we please have your Maaser Rishon? And they were given it. But since they were the leaders, they were Gedolei Hador and the judges, so the Shai Levim got nothing. And therefore, Vishai Levim Aniyim Mitztarim. All the other Levim ended up being poor. And therefore, according to Rav Meir, they didn't do something terribly wrong. But at the same time, that's what it means, Vayitu Achrei HaBotza. So Rav Meir says like Rav Yonason. But the other three opinions that we're now going to have, they disagree. They say that the sons of Shmuel did, in fact, something incorrect, wrong, not just not great. Rav Yehuda Omer, Milai Hitilo Abalibatim. They did this Milai. What does that mean? So Rashi, the Rashis are out of order. This Dibur Maskul, Milai Hitilo Abalibatim, is earlier. In any event, Noslehem Fragmatia. So the various Abalibatim would give them money to do business with them, and therefore the Bnei Shmuel were bribed by them. And therefore, they did business deals with the people that would eventually be their litigants. And we talk kach, Rashi says, Hoyanim shach libam lahatos din, kishaboyin lifneim ladun. So this was their sin. They were partners with litigants that would come to them. The litigants made them partners beforehand, and now when they'd come to them with Dini Torah, they would judge them, but they didn't judge them fairly. They judged them, i.e. as bribes, so to say, from being partners with them, and therefore that was incorrect. By Yitu Achrei Abotza, they perverted the din because they went after this money. That's Rabbi Yehuda's teretz. Rabbi Kiva says, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Kupa Yisera Shal Meiser, not Lubizroa. Rashi says they took more than they were allowed to. So they were entitled to a certain amount of crops, let's say. They were entitled to a certain amount of miser, and they took more than that. They were entitled to 10%, they took 20%. So that was what Rabbi Akiva says they did actually something wrong by Yitu Achrei Abotza. And finally, the last opinion of Yossi says they did something wrong. Omer Matanos, not Lubizroa. So Rashi has two pshatim over here in Dibra Maschel Matanos. He says they took the Zroa Lechayim the Keva. They took the portions that were supposed to be given from every animal that was shechted, the right foreleg, the jaw, and the stomach area, and that was supposed to be given to the Kohanim, but they were Levium, and they took it anyway. So therefore, that's what their sin was. Alternatively, Rashi says, no, they took the Matnos Levia, for example, Maaser Rishon. However, it says that they weren't supposed to go and take it themselves. You're not supposed to ask for it. And therefore, they're supposed to wait till they were given it, but they took it themselves, and therefore, that was their sin. That's Vayitu Achrei Habotza. Fine. That finishes the discussion about the Bnei Shmuel. Now we continue. Amar Rav Shmuel ben Achmeini, Amar Rav Yonah's son. Another statement was made. Kol Omer David Chato Einu Ela Toeh. If anybody says that the great David HaMelech sinned, they're also making a mistake, because the words could be misunderstood to think that David sinned, and he's telling us, Rahmanu L'Tzlan, the great David HaMelech didn't sin. And how do I know that that's true? He says, Shinema, because the pasuk says, Vayi David Chol Durochov Maskil Vashem Imo V'Gomer. David was always very, very successful in everything that he did because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with him. Now, they questioned, Efshar Chait Baal Yado, could it be that David was sinning? Ushchina Imo, and yet it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence was with him the whole time? So obviously the two are incompatible. Elo, how do you explain? Ma ani makayim, madua bozisu es devar Hashem lasol sarah. When David had a personal Navi, Nasan HaNavi, he was David's like personal Navi, and he gave David Musar all the time. So when he tells David, madua bozisu es devar Hashem, why did you go and make bozu, you made despicable the word of Hashem, lasol sarah, that you did bad? So how do you explain that if you're telling me that David didn't sin? So the Gemara says that Rav Yonason explains, we have Rav Shmuel ben Achmeini, Rav Yonason, Shabikesh Lasos Velo Osa, because we know that David HaMelech was a huge tzaddik, so therefore this pasuk has to be interpreted. When Nosam told him, why do you sin? It means, not why did you sin? It means over here that David wanted to sin, but Shabikesh Lasos Velo Osa, but he didn't sin. And that's what Nosam was telling him over here, but David didn't sin. And don't misunderstand this. Anybody that says David HaMelech sinned is incorrect. Now, Omar Rav explains over here an interesting idea. He says, Rebbe, who was a descendant, of course, from Malchus Beis David, so the Osimi David, he came from David, so Mahapech V'Dorish B'Schus L'David. He dashed in these psukim, not in a negative way, he dashed them in a positive way. So he explained as follows. When Nosson told David, Madua Bazi says, Dvar Hashem Lasu Sarah, so Rebbe switched it around, and he said, Rebbe Omer, Mishuna Razu Mikol Rosh B'Torah. This over here, when he says, you did Dvar Hashem Laso Sarah, is different than every other Laso Sarah in the Torah. Why? Shekol Rosh in the Torah, normally when it says that somebody did evil, somebody did bad in the Torah, Ksid Behu Vayas, he did bad. But here it uses a Lashon Mekan Ksid Lasos, he wanted to do bad. And that implies Shabikish Lasos Lo Asa. So David HaMelech was able to overcome his Yetzahara, and he didn't do the sin. Now, the Gemara continues, there was a sin that David was involved in. What exactly was a sin? The Gemara is now going to discuss. It says, Es Uriah Achiti Hikisa Becherev. So, Nosson told David, listen, you killed Uriah Achiti. Uriah Achiti was Bathsheba's husband. He went off to battle. He was killed in battle. And David married Bathsheba. So, therefore, he said he blamed, Nosson blamed David for killing Uriah Achiti. Now, Uriah Achiti did something wrong. He was married by Malchus. So David had the right to kill him. So therefore, Rebbe understands this pasuk, Es Uriah Achiti, Hikisa Becharev, is not a bad thing. Ela, Shahaya Lecha Leduno B'Sanhedrin, Velo Danta. That the only problem that David had was he was allowed to go kill Uriah Achiti because he's married by Malchus. But he should have done it through the Sanhedrin as opposed to going and killing him, so to say, by sending him off to battle. And in this way, even though he had the right to kill him, he should have done it through the Sanhedrin. Now, Tosos says over here, what do you mean he should have done it through the Sanhedrin? Koshaluri, Tap Tosos. The Gemara in Megillah tells us, Gabi Novel de Morid Bemalchus lo boile medaine. When Novel was Morid against David HaMelech, so he didn't have to go to the Sanhedrin. He could kill him right away. So Uriah, as we'll see in the Gemara in a moment, it was Morid Bemalchus. So why does David have to go to the Sanhedrin? That was the Riz Kasha. So he answers, Devade Tzorich Laduno. However, even though the king has the right to go and kill somebody, he should do it through the Sanhedrin. And only if you can't do it through the Sanhedrin, then you have the right, so to say, to take the law into your own hands. And since you should have done it through the Sanhedrin, that was the taina against him. And what does it mean when the king's allowed to take the law into his own hands? It means that when you go to the Sanhedrin has to, doesn't go and look for all the ways out of it. As the Tosa says over here, that they don't have to go and do halona sadin or lahamtin ad lamachar. They don't have to go look to find the way that the guy could be innocent. Once the king brings him there for being married to Malchus, so then the Sanhedrin can just pask him and doesn't have to go through all the normal machinations that you go through in order to find somebody innocent. The Gemara continues and says, Des ishto lekatel l'chayisha. Nosson tells David, and you took his wife, you took Bathsheba, and you weren't allowed to do that. So the Gemara darshens it, Rabbi darshens it l'tov. He says, l'kuchin yesh l'chobazet. Yeah, and you're allowed to take her. This was a valid situation. What was that? The Gemara says, the Amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmeni, Amar Rabbi Yonason, that he explained, kol ha-yotzi l'milchemes David, whenever they went out in the battles for David, kosev get kirisus l'ishto. So whenever anybody went out and they fought a war, so they would give their wives a get, a full-fledged get, according to some, a get out tonight, according to others, a big machlokas over here, Rashi and Tosus and others. In any event, we'll learn it nice and simple. They gave a get, and this way, all the soldiers, when they went out, they would give the get. Some say they gave the get bitzina, so other people shouldn't go try to marry their wives. But in any event, they gave a get to their wives, so in case Rashi explains that they became an aguna, or if they didn't come back, they were captured, or we don't know what happened to them, so the wives wouldn't be in trouble, because they got a regular full get. So, therefore, that's what it refers to over here. He was allowed to marry Bathsheba because her husband had died. And therefore, Shenemar, the pasuk says, where do we see this idea that they gave a get from the base David? Shenemar, Ve'isaseres charitze hecholov ha'ela. When Yishai sent David to go see how his brothers were doing, this is around the time of the battle with Goyas. So what happened? So he sent along with them lots of food to give to the soldiers. So he gave them aseres charitze cholov aela tabilus ara elef. He gave them food for provisions for the soldiers. Gave it to the officer in charge of the 1,000 soldiers. V'es achecho tivcho l'shalom, and see how your brothers are doing. Yishai told David, v'es arubosom tikach, and go and see their arubosom. Arubosom literally means to see how they're doing. So the Gemara says, this is a funny lashon, my arubasam, what do you mean to go see how they're doing, to see how safe they are? So the Gemara says, Tani Rav Yosef, devarim ha-me'uravim beino leveina, this idea of being bundled together, of being together, me'uravim, so that's a husband and a wife. And it used the lashon tikach, so there, arubasam tikach, go and take back their kicha, go and take back their kiddushin, in other words, bring them again. And this was Yishai's plan. Yishai was to go to Lador, and he said, in order we shouldn't have any problems with Agunos, we shouldn't have problems with soldiers not returning, and the wives can't remarry, so make them all give a get. And no, when they come back, they can remarry them. And that's what happened. So Uriah had given a get to Bathsheba, so therefore she wasn't an Ashes Ish when David was with her. Gemara continues and says, Rabbi continues over here to darshan everything Latov for David HaMelech. It says, also Arakta b'cherev b'nei Amon. He tells him that you killed him with the Cherub Bnei Amon. So Rebbe darshens this in a positive way. Ma Cherub Bnei Amon, Yatunen Asholov, just like with the Cherub Bnei Amon, when they went and killed the Bnei Amon, you're not held accountable for that. That's perfectly acceptable. Rashi explains over here, Ka'osan Shaharg Bnei Amon, Shalomi Daitko, just like all the Bnei Amon they killed without your knowledge, or so to say, without your doing, you had no willingness for that. So too, Af Uriachiti, so too, just like you're not held responsible for the killing that the Bnei Amon did, you're not held responsible for the killing of Uriachiti. Af Uriachiti, Yatonem Asholov, you're not held accountable for that. Now, why not? My Taima, why isn't David held accountable for killing Uriachiti? He sent him out to battle. So Gemara says, Morid B'malchus Haba, Uriachiti actually rebelled against David HaMelech, and as we pointed out before, he was Chayev Misa, and David had the right to kill him with the Sanhedrin, but he had the right to kill him. What did Uriachiti do? The Amale, Uriachiti. Now Rashi and Tosfos have a difference of opinion. What the sin was, I'll point them both out. So Uriachiti sells to David HaMelech. The Amale, David HaMelech tells him, come back home. But Adoni Yoav, Uriah tells him, I should come back home, my master Yoav. So Rashi says that he called anybody else his master in front of the king. That's Mori B'malchus. It implies that Yoav is his real master, when in fact David is his master. So that's what Rashi says over here. When he called him Vadoni Yoav, he said that my master Yoav, and as well Vaabde Adoni, and also the servants of my master, meaning David HaMelech, Apnei Asad B'chodim, there all the soldiers are out in the field, and you want me to come back home, and I should go be with my wife? No, that's improper. I'm not coming. And that's what Tosu says is his sin. His sin was, he says, I'm not coming. Not from the fact that he called him Adoni Yoav. He says, Tosu says that the sin is over here, that he refused to come back. Oh, that's Mori B'malchus. Tosu is a little bit easier to understand. Okay. Gemara continues and says, Amar Rav, Rav said, Kimayanis bei b'David, when you go look at David's life, lo mishkachas bei bar mi de Uriah, you won't find that he did anything wrong except the episode with Uriah that in some way he's held accountable. Where? The Pasuk says, Rak b'dvar Uriah achiti. The Pasuk itself says that David did everything correctly except in the matter of Uriah achiti, there's a little bit lacking. Now, that's the only thing in this first version of Rav that he says that David did wrong. But Abaye Kishisha, this is Abaye Kishisha, not the regular Abaye that we have. He's known as Abaye Kishisha. So Rameh, the Rav, the Rav, he points out a contradiction from this statement that Rav said that the only sin that David did was Uriah, and he brings another statement that Rav said that he did another sin. So Mi'a Rav Hachi, did Rav really say that he only did one sin? But on the Rav, we have elsewhere that Rav said, Kibel David Lashon Hara, that David accepted Lashon Hara about Mephibosheth from Mephibosheth's servant Tziva, which now we're going to learn that story. So you see that Rav says that David HaMelech did another sin. He did the sin of Lashon Hara, Kibbol Lashon Hara. So Gemara says, Kashi, you're right. There's no way to reconcile this statement that Rav says that he did Lashon Hara with the statement that Rav said that David only did, the only thing he did wrong was with Uriah Chiti. Okay, now let's go and discuss what this story was with David accepting Lashon Hara from Tziva about Mephibosheth. Who was Mephibosheth? Mephibosheth was Yonasan's son. Yonasan was David's best friend. They were great friends. We read the Parsha Mocha Chodesh, that Torah of Mocha Chodesh talks about the relationship, the wonderful, tremendous relationship between David and Yonasan. In any event, so Mephibosheth was Yonasan's son. He's referred to as being Shaul's son because he's, in many ways, he's like Shaul, as we'll see in the story. Also, who was Mephibosheth? The Gemara in Brachas tells us that Mephibosheth was David's Rebbe. He was the one who David used to go ask Silas to. In any event, now we'll listen to the story. Gemara says, Gufa, Rav Amar, Kibbol David Lashon Hara. According to Rav, Shmuel disagrees with this, as we'll see. Rav says that that David was Mekabel Lashon Hara from Tziva, who was the servant of Mephibosheth. Where do we see this? Dilsiv, Vayomer Lo HaMelech. So David HaMelech talks to Tziva, and he says, Evo, where's your master? Where's Mephibosheth? So, Vayomer Tziva, Tziva tells him, El HaMelech, he speaks to David HaMelech, Vayomer Tziva El HaMelech, he tells him, Hinehu, Beis Machir Ben Amiel, below Dovor. He's by this place over here, he's by the house of Machir Ben Amiel, below Dovor. Now, this is a funny word over here, below Dovor. So, it's a Ksivu Kri, and he says, Rashi Darshan's over here, below Dovor, means that you think that Mephibosheth is such a big Talmud Chacham, but he's not. Again, it's very strange, because Gemara Bracha says that Mephibosheth was David's Rebbe. But maybe this was before that. I'm not sure exactly how you reconcile this in the Gemara Brachos. In any event, he says, he's not a low Dover. He's not a Talmud Chacham. And then, Uksiv, Vayishlach HaMelech, Vayikocheil, Mibes Mocher, Ben Amiel, Milo Dover. So then, David HaMelech investigates, and he sees that Mephibosheth is a Milo Dover. He, in fact, is full of Torah. So therefore, he finds that Tziva was telling him something that wasn't true. So therefore, the Gemara says, Michte, Chazya de Shakru. So this is Rav is saying over here, how could David HaMelech accept the Lashon Hara from Tziva? He sees that Tziva is a liar. Michte, Chazya de Shakru. He saw that Tziva told him that Mephibosheth wasn't a Talmud Chacham, and David saw that Mephibosheth was a Talmud Chacham. So he had the Alshini Lave. So later on, when Tziva tells him more Lashon Hara about Mephibosheth, my time will kibli mine. Why did David accept it? He realized that Tziva was a liar. So Gemara says, Rav answers the Siv, Vayom Rav Melech, and we delete the words El Tziva, that's not in the Pasuk. The Pasuk should really be, Va'ayeh Ben Adonecha. This is after David had run away from Avshalom. Avshalom rebelled against David, and David had to run away. So he asked Tziva, where's your master? Where's Mephibosheth? Ayeh ben Adonecha? Vayomer Tziva, Lamelech. Tziva responds, Hine Yoshev Yerushalayim v'gomer. He's still in Yerushalayim. He was hoping, Rashi says, if you look into Dibur HaMaschil, Ayeh ben Adonecha, so it says, Ki Omer Hayom, the Tziva said that Mephibosheth was saying, Hayom Yoshivu li es mamleches avi. They're not going to really want Avshalom to be the king, and since David has left town, David was kicked out, so they're going to turn to me. That's what Mephibosheth was hoping for. They'll restore Malchus Beis Shaul, because nobody's going to want Avshalom. So that's what Tziva told Lashon Hara to David about Mephibosheth. So the Gemara says, how do we know that David accepted this? Well, granted, Mephibosheth said it, but how do we know that David accepted it? So the Pasuk said, "Bayomer Melech L'Tziva, Hinei Lecha Kol Asher L'Mephibosheth." So David tells Tziva, okay, so Mephibosheth is rebelling, so now you're no longer going to be the slave. I'll give you all of Mephibosheth's property, and you'll become a free man. Bayomer Tziva, Tziva says, thank you. Yishtachavisi, Yishtachavisi, Emsuchem Be'necha Adonai HaMelech. Oh, Yashar Koyach, thank you so much. Now, that's the way Rav understood this, that in fact, David accepted the Lashon Hara about Mephibosheth from Tziva. However, the Gemara says, Ushmuel, Amar, lo kibo David Lashon Hara. Shmuel says, no, David didn't accept Lashon Hara, but David himself, Devarim HaNikarim Chazabeh, he didn't accept the Lashon Hara, but he himself saw that Mephibosheth was not so good, and that Mephibosheth really was looking to rebel against David. Dechsev, how does Shmuel Darshit? He says, Umifibosheth ben Shaul yorad likras ha-melech. After David comes back, after Avshalom is killed, David comes back. And Mephibosheth, who's the son of Shaul, it says, but he's really the son of Yehonah's son, ben Shaul, yorad likras ha-melech. He goes to greet David. However, he doesn't greet him all fapitzed. He doesn't greet him properly adorned. Veloasa raglov. He didn't put on shoes. Veloasa svamo. He didn't take a shave. He didn't make his beard properly, and yes, begovid lochibes and begomer. He didn't come with properly laundered clothing. You don't go and greet the king like a schlump. That could be seen as a sign of disrespect for the king. Uksiv vahi kiva Yerushalayim likras hamelech. So Mephibosheth runs to greet the king. Vayomer lo hamelech, and the melech says to Mephibosheth, Lama lo halachti mi, Mephibosheth? How come you didn't come with me? When I ran away from Avshalom, all my close friends, all the people that were on my side, they came with me, but you stayed behind in Yerushalayim. Ah, what were you thinking? So the Gemara says, Vayomer, Adoni HaMelech. So Mephibosheth says to the king, Avdi Rimani, my servant Tziva tricked me. He said, Ki Amar, Abducho Echbushwali Chamor, Ve'erkavaleh V'yelech LaMelech. He says, no, you stay here. Ki Piseyach, you're lame. You can't ride so fast. Let me quickly go and let David HaMelech know that we're with him. And really, Tziva was using this as an opportunity to go and upstage Mephibosheth and to say that Mephibosheth was rebelling against the king. So therefore, Mephibosheth tells him, my servant, he was the one that misled you. So the Gemara says, Kibiseach Abducha, because we turn to the Amud Beis, because I'm a lame person and I couldn't go with you. And Tziva, he then said all sorts of bad things about me to you. But I'm so happy that you're back and you're like a Malach Elokim. Do what you think is best. He had heard that Tziva had been given his entire property. So David HaMelech says to Mephibosheth, Loma tidaber o dvarecha. Enough talking. Amarti, I said, and that's the end of the discussion, Ato v'tziva tachliku esasodet. Nope. I'm giving Tziva half of your stuff. I don't accept fully what you're saying, so I'm not accepting it totally what Tziva said, but there's some truth to what Tziva said, and therefore I'm giving half of your property to Tziva, and you can keep the other half. Now, Mephibosheth gets very upset about this. Vayomer Mephibosheth el HaMelech, Gam es hakol yikach, you take the whole thing. Achrei asher bo Adoni HaMelech b'shalom abeso. I'm happy that you returned, and therefore I don't really care about any of the property. You give Tziva the whole property. But what was he really saying over here? So the Gemara says, Amar lo, ani amarti masai tavo b'shalom. So Mephibosheth was saying to David, I was hoping that you would come back. And therefore, v'atar sili kach, and you're doing this to me? I was on your side, and you're treating me like this? Lo alecho leishli taromas, I don't have any tainas against you. However, Elami Sheviyacha B'Shalom, my only tainas are against HaKadosh Baruch Hu for bringing you back in peace. And the Mefarshim explain, here you see what his true colors were, that he really wasn't, and this was the Dvar Manikarim, this is what David saw, that Mephibosheth wasn't so much with him. And Hainu Dasid, and now we understand what the Psukim say, Uben Yehonah's son, Meriv Baal. In Divrei Hayamim, it says that Yehonasan's son was named Meriv Baal. Now Yehonah's son only had one son. Now, the more questions, was his name Meriv Baal? His name was Mephibosheth. So why are you telling me in Divrei Hayamim? Divrei Hayamim often has words and names of people that are to be darshaned. So it says, Elamitosha also Meriva in Balav, that Mephibosheth made a riv with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He had a tain against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why'd you bring David back? Why don't you let me be the king? So therefore, Yatzis Baskol, therefore the voice rang out. The Baskol came out and said, Ramlo, Natsa Bar Natsa, you're a person who causes machlokes, the son of a person who causes machlokes. Natsa Hodamarit. Natsa, we see that he caused machlokes over here, that he tainted against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why'd you let David return? And Bar Natsa, and here's why he was called not the son of Yonasan, but the son of Shaul, Tiksiv, Vayavo Shaul, Adir Amalek, Vayaru Benocha. When Shaul came after fighting the Amalek, he was told by Shmuel to go eradicate all of the people in Amalek, and he came to the Nachal, and he didn't do so. And the Gemara Darshan's Amr Mani, Al Iske Nachal, Ramani says that the drush over here is Al Iske Nachal. What is Iske Nachal? So Rashi, in the very top Rashi says, Uma al nefesh achas omer Torah hove egla rufa. If you find a dead body, you have to bring the egla rufa. So you find this binachal. So therefore, nafshos halolu al achas kama v'kama im gdolim chotu ketanim achotu. He says, you want me to wipe out all of Amalek? Okay, I'll wipe out the older people, the adults. I'll wipe out the soldiers. But what did the little kids do? And therefore, Shaul is considered over here a Natsa, a person who's having machlokas. He didn't listen to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, what Shmuel told him to wipe out Amalek. He thought he knew better. Gemara elsewhere tells us, don't be such a big tzaddik. They told Shaul, you're such a big tzaddik over here. You're also the person that wiped out Novir HaKohanim. Don't be such a Rasha. Over there, you're such a Rasha. Here, you want to be such a tzaddik. He says that's incompatible. And unfortunately, Shaul, who was an unbelievably great tzaddik, this was his sin, and this is where he lost his malchus. Gemara continues and says, Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, Bishar Shama David Levi Mephibosheth. At that moment, when David said to Mephibosheth, Atov Etziva Tachloku Es HaSodeh, you divide up the land. I don't know who's right over here, and therefore maybe Tziva's right, maybe you're right, so yeah, the Tziva will take half and you take half. At that moment, Yotz Baskol, a voice rang out from Shemayim, Ramra, and said, just like Mida Keneged Mida, you split Mephibosheth's property, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to split your Yerusha. After Shlomo HaMelech, I'm going to divide up into the northern kingdom and Malchus Yehuda. And Rechavam, your grandson, Shlomo's son, he'll be the Melech of Yehuda, but Yeravam ben Nevat, he's going to become the Melech of Malchus Yisrael, the northern kingdom. Mida Keneged Mida, you split this inappropriately, I'm going to split your kingdom inappropriately. And furthermore, Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, Yomali lo kibel David Lashon Hara, if David never hadn't accepted, this is Rav's opinion, not like Shmuel, this is Rav's opinion, that if David hadn't accepted this Lashon Hara, lo nechlecha Malchus beis David, they wouldn't have had the split with Rechavim and Yeravam. And v'lo avdu Yisrael avodah zarah, it wouldn't have led to Yeravam causing all of Klal Yisrael to go worship avodah zarah. And v'lo galinu me'atzeinu, and the Beis HaMikdash would not have been destroyed. We would not have been eradicated and removed from our land. Very sad story. Gemara continues, says, Amar Shmuel ben Achmeni Amar Yonasan. Another statement over here about a personality in Tanakh, kolo mishlamo chot enu el toa. Again, anybody that says that Shlomo HaMelech sinned, they're also making a terrible mistake. Shenema seems to say that he sinned. The pasuk says, Shenema, v'lo yolavavu sholei mim Hashem elokav, kilavav David ha'ovid, that Shlomo HaMelech wasn't as complete with Hashem as was his father David. So don't darshan that in the most horrible way. Kilavav David ha'ovid hud lo hava. He wasn't as great as David with Hashem. However, michta nami lo chota, but he didn't sin. I hear a psukim that say that he did sin. Elomani mekayim ba'ilei zikna Shlomo. When Shlomo got older, noshav hitu es levavo. He had many wives. He had 1,000 wives, and they turned him away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hitu es levavo. So that means to say that he went off the derech. So he says, nope. Hayik Reb Nosson. That we dash like Reb Nosson. What did Reb Nosson say? The Reb Nosson Rami. Reb Nosson said we have two psukim over here. Save in one pasuk, it says, Vahile Zikna Shlomo Noshav Hitu Es Levavo. That's the pasuk we just wrote down. That when Shlomo got older, his wives turned him away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we have the first pasuk that we wrote down, Voksiv, Kilavav David Aviv. He wasn't as great as David, his father. Kilavav David Aviv, Hudalo, Hava, Michta, Nami Luchata, but he didn't sin. So we seem to have a contradiction. One pasuk says that he turned away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the other pasuk says, no, he wasn't as great as David, but he still was a great tzaddik. So how did Rav Nosson reconcile the two psukim? So Hachi Kamei says, this is the way you have to understand it. Vahilei Zikna Shlomo, Shlomo Melech got old, Noshafitu is Levavo, they turned him away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Loleches, Acharei Elohim Acharim, to worship all these false gods. Elohim over here doesn't mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it means all these false gods, the Lo Halach. But Shlomo didn't go and follow. It says that he followed. No, they did it wrong, and we'll see, he's held accountable for not steering them in the right direction, but he didn't do it. But it seems to say that the Shlomo Melech built a Mizbeach over here for this idol over here, this Shikutz, this terrible idol of Moab. So the Gemara says, no, Shebikesh Levnos V'lo Bono. No, he wanted to, but he never did it. The Gemara says, Elomiyato, if you're telling me Oz Yivne means that he wanted to but didn't do it. So then it says the same lashon by Yoshua. It says Oz Yivne Yoshua Mizbeach Lashem, and they're telling me Shabikish Livnos Lo Bona, that Yoshua wanted to but didn't build it. No, Ela Debana, he built the Mizbeach. So to Ovi Ochanami Debana, Shlomo Melech built it also. You can't dash in the words Oz Yivne that he didn't build it. Shmuel says no, you can. Ela Kidatanya, you dash in it as follows: Rav Yosi Omer V'Yesabamos Asher Api Yerushalayim Asher Mimin Lahar. Hamashchis it should be, not Hamishcha. Asher Bono Shlomo Melech Yisrael Yashro Shikutz Tidonim Gomer. Now, this pasuk is talking about during the days of Yoshio, that he wiped out all of the Avodah Zorahs. He wiped out all of the Mizbechos that were still around from earlier on, which Shlomo HaMelech, it says, Asher Bono Shlomo Melech Yisrael, that Shlomo HaMelech built all of them. Now, where it says, Efshar, but also of Lobiram. Also was a great king that came after Shlomo Melech. He didn't allow any Avodah Zarah in the land. He got rid of all the Avodah Zarah. Along came Yehoshaphat, who was a great king after Asa. Lobiram, he also got rid of all the Avodah Zarah in the land. So how could it possibly be that these Mizbechos were still around in the time of Yoshiyahu? His earlier predecessors, Asa and Yehoshaphat, eradicated all those Mizbechos. Aitosa says, maybe sometimes we have a concept that we have a rule, that we sometimes say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves things, so to say, for a later generation to do. So that only is if there's a reason for it. If there's, like, for example, by the Nechash and Nechoshesh, Yoshio got rid of it and the others didn't because they thought that since Moshe Rabbeinu made it, they shouldn't get rid of it. So that's why it was left for Yoshio to go get rid of. But here, these are Avodah Zarah, there's no reason to leave them, and therefore, there's no way to think that Asa and Yehoshaphat didn't get rid of them. So obviously they were destroyed. So therefore, it says, Asher bo Yoshua Biram, they waited until to destroy them, until Yoshio, that can't be. Follow call of Avodah Zarah, Shemaritz Yisrael, Asa and Yehoshaphat Biram, they already destroyed all the Avodah Zarah. So what's the shot? Ella, Mekish Rishonim Le'achronim. Rashi explains over here, Mekish es binyano shol Shlomo lebiuro shol Yoshio, that we're going to make an alignment over here, like we're talking about the destruction that Yoshio did, it's going to be to the binyan that Shlomo did. My Yoshio, Rashi, I'm still reading, my Yoshio lo also biur zeh. Yoshio wasn't the one that destroyed this Mizbechos. Nevertheless, v'talu bo min ha-shamayim, and the Shemayim, they gave him credit, l'shaveyach, for doing this, holu biur ashar, since he did. He got rid of all the rest of the Avodah Zarahs that were around that had been built since the time of Yehoshaphat. So therefore, he's giving credit, so to say, for getting rid of those that were before the time of Yehoshaphat that Yehoshaphat and Asa had gotten rid of. Shinasa mishenei Yehoshaphat. So these, we destroyed all the ones that were from the time after Yehoshaphat. So he's giving credit, so to say, for destroying the ones that even were before Yehoshaphat that Yehoshaphat had destroyed. So too, Av Shlomo lo asa binyan zeh. Shlomo didn't do all these idols. He didn't make these mizbechos. However, v'tolubo liganos, lignus, they were over here attributed to him. Mitoch shlo micha b'noshav, since he didn't protest the being built, so it's as if he built them. And therefore, that's what the Gemara tells us. Elamekish rishonim le'achronim. Ma'achronim lo'asu v'tolubem l'shvach. Just like Yoshio didn't actually destroy those earlier mizbechos, but since he destroyed other mizbechos, so we add them on to his repertoire, and we say that he destroyed them, even though he didn't actually do that, so to afrishonim by Shlomo HaMelech, lo'asu, he didn't make those mizbechos. Nevertheless, since he didn't protest, v'tolubem l'gnai, he's considered as if he made them. I, the Pasuk says, it says that Shlomo did evil in God's eyes. So what's going on over here? So Gemara says, and this goes back to yesterday's shir, he should have protested. He sees people doing something wrong. He has the power to go and change it and tell him not to do that. So you're considered accountable. If you don't go and protest, you're considered as if you did something. If you could stop somebody from doing something wrong, and you don't, it's as if you did it wrong. Mark continues, I'll review them, Shmuel. Noach lo liyoso tzadik shiye shamish le dover acher. It would have been better for Shlomo HaMelech to actually be a shamish for a dover acher. Rashi explains over here, lach tov eitzim, to go and cut wood, v'lishov mayim, and to draw water, bishar, to get paid for it, le'avod azara. It would have been better for Shlomo HaMelech to be a wood chopper and a water carrier for an avod azara, to be the attendant for the avod azara, then rather than having written about him, Ayikosibo, Vayasara b'nei Hashem, rather than being listed over here that he did evil in the eyes of Hashem. Furthermore, Amar Yudah Mishmuel, Mishah Shinasa Shlomo as Bas Paro, at that moment when Shlomo married the daughter of Paro, Hechnitza Loel v'mine Zemer, she brought in lots and lots of musical instruments which they would sing to the Avodah Zarah, use for the worship of Avodah Zarah, V'yamrlo, and she told him, Kach osim Avodah Zarah plonis, this is how we worship this Avodah Zarah, V'kach osim Avodah Zarah plonis, this is how we worship this Avodah Zarah, V'lo michaba, and he didn't say boo. Shlomo HaMelech should have said, we don't do that over here. This isn't what we do in Eretz Yisrael, this isn't what we do in the Beis HaMikdash, in Klal Yisrael, but you have to give that up. You're now my wife, you're no longer the daughter of Paro. And Nebuch, Amr of Yehuda Mishmuel, he says further, Bishor Shinosa Shlomo was Bas Paro at that moment in time in history when Shlomo Melech married the Bas Paro, Yorad Gavriel v'noatz kona b'yam. At that moment, the Malach Gavriel stuck a big stick into the ocean, the Olabo Sirton, and it caused all of the Sirton, is like the sand, to come up and form around it. Olav Nivne Krach Godol Sheromi, and this was the start of the destruction of Klal Yisrael from the moment that Paro's daughter married Shlomo HaMelech, so that was the beginning of the end. And our enemies, Rome, was, so to say, created at that moment in time. B'masnis HaTan, we learn in the Brice a similar idea. Oso Ayom Sheichnis Yeravim Shnei Egli Zov, Echav Beisrael V'Echav Bedon. At that moment, when Yeravim, now, Yeravim originally didn't do this L'Avodah Zarah. He said, if I go into the Beis HaMikdash, so people are going to see that I can't sit down in the Beis HaMikdash because I'm not from Malchus Beis David. And they're going to see Rechavim sitting down in the Beis HaMikdash. They're going to say, which one of them is the real king? So therefore, Yeravim said, let's build another Beis HaMikdash over here. We'll build one in Don, and we'll build one in Beis El, and everybody will be happy. They'll worship the Beis HaMikdash. But ultimately, unfortunately, he said, it turned it into Avodah Zarah places, and he put the golden calves over there. So at that moment, that Yeravim turned those places into no longer being L'Shem Shemayim, but making it into places of Avodah Zarah. Yeravim was a Chote Umachti, so at that moment, when he built those two golden calves, Nivnet Srif Echot, that was the first house that was built on this sandbar that Gavriel had created, and Nivnet Srif Echot Vizel Yitalia Shul Yavon, and this was the start of, originally was Italy of Yavon, ultimately it became Rome, and that was the start of all the troubles with Rome for Klal Yisrael. Mark continues with another statement. Each of these statements he tells us about a personality in Tanakh. Anybody says that the great King Yoshio sinned, he's making a mistake. That it says about Yoshio that he followed in the derech of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and in the path of David his father. But it says he did the tshuva. Nobody else did tshuva like him. So if he did tshuva, it must have been that he did something wrong. So what is this tshuva that he did? Anybody that says that he did a sin, you're telling me is wrong. But it says he did tshuva, so he must have done a sin. So Rav Yonason further explains, shekol dinim shedon mi ben shmona ad shmona esrei hechziron lahen. He became the king when he was 8 years old. And he was a very, very brilliant young man. So therefore, when he was the king, he judged people from the age of 8 until the age of 18. But you're not allowed to be a judge until you're the age of 18. So therefore, he ultimately realized that he did something wrong, and even though he may have judged correctly, he returned everybody their money. Hechzir lahen. Any money that he had taken from Reuven and given to Shimon, he now, out of his own pocket, he paid back Reuven. Shema Tomar, no Tamizev, no Salazer. Oh, he went and took it back from Shimon and gave it to Reuven. No. It says, Tamaloma, Bechom Muado. He did it with his own money. Shinosal Hemishalo. even though he was right and he took the money appropriately from Reuven and gave it to Shimon, he now paid Shimon Reuven back out of his own pocket. So therefore, that's what it means over here, that he was shav, he went back on the din, but not that he did a sin. However, that's what Rav Yonasan says. So plead the Rav. Rav disagrees. He says, no, in fact, Yoshio was a huge Baal Tshuva. The people were all sinners, and Yoshio didn't know any better until they found, when he was 26 years old, they found the Sefer Torah in a totally derelict Beis HaMikdash, and they found it open to the Tochacha, and Yoshio did Tshuva, a great Tshuva, and he became one of the greatest kings of all of Klal Yisrael. So Rav says he really did Tshuva. And not only is there Yoshio as an example of somebody who did Tshuva, he said, there's somebody in my generation, Rav said, who also is the paradigm of doing Tshuva. Mor says, Umanu, who is this person in your generation who did this great Tshuva? So we have two possibilities. The first one is Abba. There was a person named Abba who was Avua, who was the father of Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba. Alternatively, Yamilo, others say it was Acha, who was Achur the Abba. He was the brother of Abba, who was the father of Avua, the Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba. The Yom America, as we know, Abba v'Acha, Achi Havu. These were two brothers, Abba and Acha, and one says Abba was the one who did the great Baal Tshuva, and the other says Acha was the one who did the great Baal Tshuva. Fine. On Rav Yosef says he lived a generation later. There was another great Baal Tshuva in our generation as well. Umanu, who is that? So Gemara says, Ukvan bar Nechemya Reish Gilusa. This person who was the great Baal Tshuva is a person by the name of Ukvan, who was the son of the Reish Gilusa. And he was also known, Vahainu Nosan Dutsutsitsa. Brought down on the side to look in Rashi, the Moritz Sanhedrin. I mentioned this the other day. The Shohaya Mar Ukva Baal Tshuva. This Mar Ukva over here, Ukva, was a great Baal Tshuva. And it's called Nosan de Tzutzisa because Nosan Eina on a married woman, and he held himself back from sinning. And Shu Yotze Lashuk Hayoner Dolek Berosho Min HaShemayim. And he was a symbol that he had like a fire on his head when he went out because he was such a great Baal Tshuva, and he was known as Nosan Ditzutzitza because of that. That's what it says on the side. In any event, Amar Rav Yosef, Havi Yasivna Bepirka, I was once sitting in the shir, and I dremeled a little bit, I fell asleep a little bit, and I saw in my dream, the Chazoy Dechoma, the Karposha Yodev Kible, I saw the Tshuva that this Nosan Ditzutzitza did, and Rashi explains over here, Hashem Nitzutzin Denura Shamalach Poshet Is Yodav Kibel Tshuvaso. So to say, these sparks came out over here that the Malach accepted them. That's the first pshat. Lishnach Risa Ashaachazu Amalach Betzitzis Rosho. He grabbed onto the tzitzis of his head, the payas of his head, and accepted him doing the tshuva. So, in other words, this person, Rav Yosef says, who lived in his generation, Mar Ukva Ukvan Bar Nechemya, who is the Reish Gelusa, known as Nosan Ditzutzitza, he was the great Baal Tshuva of Rav Yosef's generation. With this, we conclude our discussion over here of all of those people in Tanakh who were misjudged. It seems that they were bad, but they really weren't what the psukim sound like. And we finished the parak, the fifth parak, Bameh Behema, Hadron Alecha Bameh Behema, Hadron Alecha Bameh Behema, Hadron Alecha Bameh Behema, and we conclude today's shir.